What about my hair makes it seem like I'm wearing a wig?
Maybe it's because you have so much luscious, beautiful hair. And
that's
so
what I'm talking about.
You know, it's like Donald Trump's. Wow, that's not real.
Oh, well, Donald. Okay, now let's hold. Let's back this up just a hair. Donald Trump's hair is not beautiful. It is sad and depressing. And if I have that kind of hair when I'm 80, the waning amounts of it. If I do that kind of comb over to make it seem like I have hair when I'm 80, please shave my head. Well, I'm trusting one of you to do that.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Whoever's still alive, and if we're still hanging out when I'm 80,
I'll be there.
Don't let me do that.
I've already set a calendar reminder. Grab your clippers and head over to Tyler.
Grab your space clippers, because it'll be, when I'm 80, it'll be like, what, 50 years from now?
In November.
2075.
2075. You'll know where to find me.
It's going to be fine.
Shearing Tyler's mane.
Welcome back to Switchcast Season 5. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with Not Doug on my right.
That's me.
As he's been called on the comment section this week. And are now demoted to associate producer, Ethan Huffnagel. We don't even remember why.
It's been a rough week over here at Switchcast, but we're here and we're ready to rock.
Yes, we are here. Switchcast is the automotive news and entertainment show that is not just for car people. In fact, as we've said before, it's almost better if you're not a car person, because then you can't call us out on our inevitable mistakes and speaking out of way above our skill level.
Yeah, we're going to do it anyway.
Hopefully there's also no lawyers or engineers or accountants or anybody of any professional ilk of any sort listening either, because we kind of just make stuff up as we go.
Well, it's somewhat educated, but also let's just blanket statement this whole thing. No financial and no legal advice is included in this program you're going to listen to here today.
That's correct. That's correct. And if you do enjoy listening, please help us out with the algorithms. Hit the like button, share, subscribe, leave comments wherever you're watching so that other people will find us. The show is free for all of our listeners. It will continue to be so until we decide otherwise. And so that'll help us out. Tonight, we are drinking gin and tonics, a departure from the norm. Tyler makes a mean gin and tonic. And yes. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What gin are we using tonight?
We are drinking James May's gin, specifically of the London Drizzle variety.
Oh, trying to be like the Smoking Tire podcast, aren't we?
Well, Doug, hold on a second. I was drinking James gin from before Mr. Matt Farah, as much as I do enjoy his content, even knew what it was.
Oh, okay.
I ordered from the first batch of this glorious liquid that came over, shipped over high seas to get to my glass.
I was cool before. When temperatures were still warm.
That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay. All right. All
goes
right.
with my cardigan.
Well, let's talk about... it's a partigan, Tyler.
Sure.
Partigan.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about auctions, because, man, auctions give us a great picture of what is happening in the market. We've covered a couple big auctions recently, the Chattanooga Broad Arrow auction and the Junkyard auction of Rudy Klein. Well, we are comparing two online car auctions to learn some lessons about selling cars and, I guess, buying cars as well, what the best strategy is, right? So there's no shortage of online auction houses out there. There's Bring a Trailer. There's P Car Market. There's Cars and Bids. There's Collecting Cars. If you're in the UK, there's Car Huna. There's Sotheby's Motorsport. There are SBX, Supercar
yes.
Blondie's auction site. And then a whole lot of kind of like second tier. If none of those are second tier, which some of them maybe are, you know, but there's a whole lot of second tier auction sites as well. So it's hard to even keep up with what's going on.
And you've even got the old tried and true eBay out there. I still occasionally see cars. It almost feels sketchy to me at this point. It's like, I'm okay with Bring a Trailer and Cars and Bids and all that, but eBay, that's a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a time.
Indeed. Well, but speaking of eBay, right? So one of the things that people did not like about eBay when we felt like it was getting kind of diluted or whatever, and this was before Bring a Trailer, is that you would see cars relisted over and over and over again. Cars wouldn't meet reserve. And you go, well, they were diluting their own platform. They were not building value into the cars. And one of the biggest flaws in their system was that they had a buy it now price often concurrent with an auction. So people like, there's no point in bidding if you know what buys it anyway. Or they would say that the reserve is not met. So everybody knew, like, that would discourage people from bidding because you go, well, I can't buy the car for whatever I bid. So there's it, you know, they just would let it not meet reserve and then try to negotiate based off of this farcical market value that had been sort of established by a no sale that didn't meet reserve. Now, all the new online auction sites have gone away from that. They've learned from eBay's mistake, and they do not publish whether or not a car has met reserve until the auction's over. So it encourages people to bid as if they are going to win the car, as if the car is going to be sold.
Which is probably a more accurate way to get the market representation if it doesn't meet the reserve, is there's no outside force telling people to continue to bid. They're just bidding until they're not comfortable anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. But let's take a look at two in particular. We're going to look at Bring a Trailer versus P Car Market. Bring a Trailer is, I believe, I don't think anyone would argue with this, they are the industry leader in terms of online auction. P-Car Market is a lesser known site. I wouldn't say it's a runner up. I think Cars and Bids and Collecting Cars and a couple other have more market presence, but they've done pretty well. They've carved out their own niche. And, you know, true to their name, P-Car Market stands for Porsche cars. They exclusively sell. Mostly. Well, no, they don't exclusively sell Porsches. So their name means nothing.
That's where they started.
Yes.
Which
I would have liked for them to stay there. I feel like MB Market is carving out a definitive niche, and that's cool because if you're a Mercedes enthusiast, that's the site you go to. P Car Market has kind of wandered all over the place, grown some, but there's a lot of speculation with that site in terms of, well, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Are these real transactions? What's going on? Now, I noticed something this week that I thought was really interesting. Three cars that I had been watching on Bring a Trailer all showed up on P Car Market the same day, and they were all no sales on Bring a Trailer. So I said, let's look into this a little bit more. So I believe it was November 13th when I took this sample data, out of the 42 cars that were listed on P Car Market, 10 of them were relists from other sites. 9 had not sold on Bring a Trailer, and 1 had not sold on Cars and Bids. And another one was a relist from being on P Car Market earlier that year. So more than 25% of P Car Market's listings in one day were relists. So the question is, statistically, does this make sense, right? Is P Car Market getting the sloppy seconds, or are they the cleanup batter? Right? Are they taking the auctions that nobody else can do anything with and making something of them? Or are they just, you know?
I have also seen one recently, since I'm paying a bunch of attention to the 996 GT3 market. One did not sell on P Car Market, went into their Deal Tank situation post auction, and then ended up on Bring a Trailer while it was still on Deal Tank. It was very bizarre. So we've seen the other direction too.
Yes. Yeah. And there's something to learn for sellers. Before we unpack these, there is just something to learn. Well, this is my theory anyway. We're going to see if it proves true in the stats. Is there's a trend now of people listing on one auction site, then the next, and kind of these cars making the rounds of auctions. And I think that is a terrible marketing strategy. The advantage of an auction is somewhat kind of the exclusivity of, well, I can only get it here. And it's really, really bad if you list it on an auction, you still have it advertised somewhere else. So people have like a data point established. Again, it's like the buy it now on eBay. Once you suggest a value into somebody's head, they can't bid without thinking about that value. So let's take a look at these stats. All right. So
I also think before you get started on that, Doug, that like when you see cars going from auction to auction, you think to yourself immediately, well, why didn't it sell over there? What do I need to worry about? Is something up? And then you see all the drama in the comment sections of the previous auction, if there is any. Like, it just creates I don't think it is possible in most scenarios to get more by relisting it somewhere else.
Yep. I mean, it holds true with everything, right? You have potential employees that have gone from job to job to job. thing. Well, why do you suck at working for people? Like nobody else wants you. So, you know, same thing with cars, dating maybe as well. I wouldn't know, but, all right. So the first one, 2008 Porsche Turbo Cab. This is the outlier, actually. Bring a trailer, high bid at 45,250. This was a high mileage car, lest you think that you can get Porsche Turbos that cheap.
Not anymore.
It went for $59,500 on P-Car Market, and it sold. 93 Porsche 964. Bring a trailer, high bid was $142. P-Car Market, high bid was $131. So went down. 78 Ferrari 308 GT4, sorry, Dino 308 GT4. Bring a trailer, high bid at 41, P car market at 42.2. 2018 Ferrari 48 Spider, bring a trailer, high bid at 236.5, P car market. It sold for $250,000. Now it did sell to a dealer, which I've noticed anecdotally a lot of our sales on P car market are to other dealers. There's a high contingency of a high concentration of dealers buying cars off of P-Car Market.
Interesting.
Let's see. 2016 Cadillac ATS-V 6-speed. Bring a trailer, high bid at 33,250. P-Car Market, 32,5.
I wonder what they were trying to get for that, because obviously that's what it's worth.
Sure. The deal tank price, this is, I love that we have this stat. The P car market has something that Bring a Trailer and most other auctions don't, is they have a deal tank. So after the auction ends, people can continue to make offers and there is a buy it now price. So after the auction ends, you know what actually buys the car. And I think a lot of deals are made on P car market that way. Let's see. Porsche 964 Carrera 4 slant nose conversion, Bring a Trailer, high bid 57. P car market, high bid 60, and that did sell. And I want to highlight this one because this is also an outlier. The bid was marginally higher on Bring a Trailer, I mean, on P car market than it was on Bring a Trailer. But P car market obviously convinced the seller that they needed to take the deal. So in this one case out of 11 comps, the seller actually got more realistic and said, I'm going to bring my car down to market. I'm going to accept what the market has said. All these other ones, there was two that did sell on P-Car Market that got much higher bids, but all the rest of them, essentially the two bids were almost the same from Bring a Trailer to P-Car Market, and none of the sellers got realistic.
Yeah, I have a question about that for you, but I can let you finish your... the run through the datums here.
Sure. 2003 Aston Martin DBAR1, a car that I love, but it doesn't have a top or any option for one. Bring a trailer, high bid 176, P car market, high bid 195. A note on this one, this car sold at RM Amelia Auctions in 2018 for 307.
Holy Lord.
And then at RM Fort Lauderdale in 2019 for 225. And note that it was sold by the Retro Motors Collection, which... we covered the Chattanooga auction a few episodes back, and a lot of the cars there for sale, especially some of the like more mediocre modern exotics, were all from the Retro Motors Collection. So supposedly they just like buying and selling at auction. They just kind of buy whatever. In this case, they took a giant hit from 307 to 225, and it looks like the DBAR1 is not tracking with the entire rest of the market since 2018, where everything else doubled or tripled in value. These went from 300 to 200.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Note, though, that the buy it now deal tank price is still 270, so they are
dreaming.
Speaking of Aston Martins, a DB9 Volante 6-speed. Love that. Bring a trailer, high bid was 60. P car market high bid is 50.
Yikes.
That was also a relist on Bring a Trailer because that one had previously bid to 50K. 89 911 Speedster. Bring a trailer, high bid 164. P car market high bid 150. And last but not least, an 07 Aston Martin V8 Vantage 6-speed with high miles. This was the P-Car Market relist. in July, it bid to $32K, and it just closed at a $31,000 high bid.
Ew.
So by the stats, if you were paying attention, 3 out of the 11 relists sold. 2 of them were because the numbers, the bids were actually significantly better on P-Car Market versus Bring a Trailer. So essentially a 20% success rate improving. I think that supports my theory that relisting from auction site to auction site, whichever direction you go, I'm not saying that P-Car Market is better or worse than BAT. I'm sure there's ones that start on P-Car and go to Bring a Trailer, whatever. But this was an easy stat to run down because P-Car Market only had 42 auctions to go through, whereas Bring a Trailer is 1,042.
Insane. So you had mentioned that the outlier being that 964, they came down to market. What was the phrase you used? Do you think that this swirling of from auction site to auction site is due to the fact that we are in a period of prices cooling? They're not collapsing. They're not dramatically falling, but things are worth a little less than they used to be.
Well, yes, prices are cooling and sellers at the same time are unrealistic. And that gets me into my other stat. Without going into all of the deal tank prices relative to the high bids, let's just say there was a significant difference. And I took the average, right? So the high bid against the buy it now deal tank price. The average high bid was 74% of what the seller wanted. Ooh. For these 8 that did not sell out of the 11 relists, 74%. That is significant. That's huge. Not just one data point. Like, these sellers are way out of line.
Is this the first time that you have seen something like this happen with these auction sites?
It's the first time I've done this data breakdown on a relist. So, I mean, there's always going to be people that are unrealistic. There's also going to be really flat bidding sometimes. So there's a lot of people will say or comment in an auction that, well, that was the high bid. That's the market. Cause you've got this giant global marketplace on Bring a Trailer. This is your only market. And that's an important point that I need to counter, because a no sale, a reserve not met, does not establish market value because a transaction did not occur. Can it lend an insight into the market? Sure. When we have a whole bunch, a table of these that are not meeting reserve, fine. But Bring a Trailer is not the only marketplace as big as it is. And a no sale just means that the market for that day, for that car on that platform, is what was established. It could be different the next day on a different platform. And I think that's what people are trying to do by relisting it on other auctions. But in general, I think when it's that fresh, I just take it off the market, put it somewhere else. Don't keep jumping auction to auction.
For sure. And I kind of have a theory that this might be the first time we're seeing this, because this is the first time that prices have cooled. And this is based on some data that we'll talk about a little later. Since all of the big auction sites started operating and opening up cars to a very broad audience on the internet that wasn't just eBay or Craigslist, you know, I think, and this is really just a feeling, I don't have anything to back it up, that those auction sites rode the rise of the market from the mid-2010s until today, and there hasn't been a correction, a cooling, or anything in that time. So now we are seeing this new phenomenon of people trying to get every last penny they can.
Sure. I think that's fair. Let's move on to the shrewd negotiator.
Yes. I have one for you.
I have one for you. Let's see whose is better.
Doubleheader. Okay. Mine. I'll go first. This comes to you from the Pelican Parts forums. Not very often you hear things from these guys. 2002 Porsche Carrera Coupe. All right, 996. 5,600 miles.
That's super low miles.
Really low.
How many IMSs has it been through?
I don't know if I'd trust the one that's in there. Carrera White over Black, which is, I think, an interesting color combo. You don't see the .2s in white. Six-speed manual. First-rate investment grade 996.2 Coupe. Part of a collection since new. Two owners, which is, haven't driven it very much. Perfect original paint that has never been cut. The 911 sits as it was delivered in 2002. Still has the original tires with, listeners, Porsche valve stem caps. in perfect condition.
Ooh. Wait, is the Porsche crest on the center cap pointed towards the valve stem?
They better be.
Because if not, then it's not investment grade.
Somebody's tampered. The factory wipers still have the spoilers. Always serviced and started and used on regular intervals. Ordered with manual seats. No rear wiper. Bose, blah, blah, blah. The price, Doug.
Oh, man.
If you want yourself an investment grade eggy Porsche, $68,500.
I mean, fine, go find another one, right? I guess.
Who's asking for this?
I never thought I'd see the day when a 996 was investment.
And on original tires.
Original tires. Right, original tires. Oh, I got one. I got one. Actually, I got two.
Oh,
very short.
Okay.
One is an anecdote. We had a customer try to trade in a vehicle last week. And they said that they had been offered $68,000, that they had that covered on their trade-in. And they told us what dealer had offered that number because they owed $72,000. And so they're trying to get as close to their payoff as they could, which we're seeing this a lot now. People are upside down on their cars. They're just trying to get out from under the loans. And I shopped it around a little bit. I'm like, man, 68 is crazy. That's so high. So we got in touch with a dealer that had allegedly offered them $68,000 that they wanted us to beat their offer. And they're like, oh yeah, yep. We know that truck. We offered 63.
Do you think you just like filled in the little curves on the three or something? Like what?
So I'm like, all right, let's go back and be like, we'll match their offer if you can get it in writing. Like, anyway, yeah, buyers are liars. We have a submission from a listener, Fast Wheeler. Language warning. Sorry about this. I'm quoting, but Facebook Marketplace, gotta love it. 2004 BMW 3 Series for sale for $8,000. The buyer says, "Hi, is this available? $4,000." They respond, "Not for $4,000. $5,000, $8,000, $5,500, $8,500. Go fuck yourself."
Is that it? That's all the interaction?
That's it.
Oh, love it. Oh, God. I love the little, like, boop, $500 up. Just, fine, $8,500 now.
People take negotiations so personally.
Nuts for Sticks is a brand celebrating the manual transmission in all its forms. So forget those flappy paddles because we like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick-themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That's nutsforsticks.com and use code SWITCHCAST.
So I was on Wholesale Car Club this week, interesting Facebook group where cars are sold at not wholesale the majority of the time. There's a lot of car dealers on there, but also a lot of people who read Exotic Car Hacks or subscribe to him or whatever you do with that, watch his videos. And there's some really interesting propositions of the automotive sort. And this week there was one on here, a very, very not wholesale car. Posted by Rajay McCamara. Anyway, posting again with a price for those interested. Car is priced to sell at $65,000 firm. The only way the price will reduce is if I remove mods to fit your price. That's pretty open-ended.
Yeah.
How many mods can you remove to get to $10,000? That's my price. Like, but if you want the car as is with the big brake kit, Moton two-way coilovers, etc., it's $65,000. It's a 2016 M3 with 68,000 miles, 4,000 on built motor. He says, for those not familiar, this is the Keyes Motorsports F80 M3. So apparently it's a fully built motor, which I don't know.
Belt not bought.
I don't know how he removes those mods.
I want you to take the new pistons and rods out.
supposedly this thing is making like 1,000 horsepower, something like that. So he continued to improve the car, adding CarPlay, Icon, LCI headlights, OLED sequential taillights, and Apex wheels. So
sounds like all of the mods that all the BMW guys do.
Yeah, right. Chinese headlights and taillights and CarPlay. Good job.
Probably an exhaust from Alibaba or something.
Right. So he did post the VIN as is required in this group. And immediately, what do the kids say? OP finna get dragged.
I'm sorry, Doug. Hold on. Did that actually just come out of here? This is wild. I did not expect this tonight.
I'm in the big Ultima Energy group, okay?
Hope you're finna to get dragged. Yeah, yes. He was finna get dragged. That is correct.
And get dragged he did because, backing up, 2016 M3 with 68,000 miles. I don't care what mods are on it. In fact, mods tend to reduce the value. Price to sell at 65 grand firm. Now, I'm in the car business, so I have a little bit of insight into how much crack the guy's smoking with that price, and it's enough to get arrested for trafficking. Carfax retail value is $41,050.
Slight gap.
Just a wee
bit. A little bit.
And contrary to the old Kelley Blue Book days, Carfax is pretty darn accurate with everything except the most obscure, unique specialty cars. We were looking up, Aston Martin DB7 GTs the other day, manual ones.
Yeah.
And they had them, Carfax had them valued at $75,000. I was like, holy crap. It's a super obscure, like, I don't think the VIN's any different than the DB7 Vantage. Dan, can you correct me if I'm wrong? We have a research assistant, Dan Doucette, in-house.
He got promoted from Peanut Gallery.
Yeah.
Big week at Switchcast.
So anyway, so Carfax is pretty good at that, right? You can't just write that off. 41 grand. So he is out of his mind with this asking price. But the better part of this is people were posting and they're like, is this the same one that was stolen recently? Did you happen to mention that? And like supposedly they did damage to the motor because, you know, thieves with 1,000 horsepower M3, yeah. I can't imagine they're like treating it, you know.
Kindly.
Right.
With respect. It's not happening.
Not happening. So thanks to motorbiscuit.com.
What a website name.
There's a whole article dedicated to this car and its previous history fairly recently, January 2024. Entitled 1,000 horsepower M3 stolen with a bad check. That's right. Somebody came in to buy this car from the seller and brought a cashier's check. The seller deposited the cashier's check, thought he was being, a good, careful seller and like went to the bank with the guy and deposited the check. And the teller like put it through their scanner and was like, yeah, okay, it's good, whatever that means, deposited it. The funds became available the next day, as they usually do with check availability policies with a certified check, until a few days later, it bounced because it was a fake cashier's check.
Ooh. It
was a very, very common scam.
But it seems like the seller did kind of what they should have, right? They went to the bank, they asked a teller specifically, they took a look and like, is that not what you're supposed to do?
That's expecting the bank to know the difference between a real and a fake cashier's check. And that's really not what they're experts in doing.
Okay.
They might be able to spot a bad fake, but you know, their job is not counterfeit experts.
Would they be able to like, is there anything they can do to like run it and verify that the funds exist in the other account? Or I guess, would you have to just call the other bank at that point?
Well, there was a retired law enforcement that commented on this whole saga. And he said, sadly, this happens all too often. Never accept a cashier's check and turn over car until the check officially clears. Many scammers out there. I have investigated quite a few in my career. The check always looks legit, even to a bank employee at first glance, but always wait until the check officially clears before releasing the car. I disagree with this because, number one, what does clearing mean, right? Your bank will tell you two different things. They'll say, well, the funds are available, but that doesn't mean that it is totally cleared or whatever. It could be 4 days. It could be 10 days. Before somebody identifies it as a fraudulent check. Two, there's just a better, well, buyers, legit buyers are not going to stand for that. The whole point of bringing a cashier's check is it's quote unquote like cash. It's certified funds. So they want to be able to leave with the car and the title. The old adage of car sales or car deals is nobody has all three things, car, title, and cash. Like, everybody has some exposure. So if I bring a cashier's check, I'm leaving with the car and the title. I'm not going to give it to a guy and wait for it to clear 5 or 10 or whatever arbitrary number of days later. So real buyers are not going to go for that. The better thing to do is, there is a way to do this. There's a control number on the cashier's check and a phone number you can call. So you call the issuing bank and you verify that that is a legit check drawn by a legitimate person and that that bank actually issued that check. That's the way to do it.
And they will be able to tell you this is real. The money is available. It is, everything's on the up and up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, at least in my experience. Now, I've heard that some banks, out of a matter of policy, are not even verifying cashier's checks anymore because the scammers are getting so good, they're like coming up with real control numbers or something like that. That seems a little bit far-fetched, like maybe it's an inside job. But we've never had a problem with verifying funds. So anyway, back to this M3. They did eventually recover it after threatening cops and all sorts of stuff like that. And finally, somehow got the car back. But now this guy is trying to resell the car again for a ridiculous amount of money. It's about double wholesale value. And it turns out too, according to my research, it's almost double what he allegedly paid less than a month prior.
Nice. Quick flip.
Right. Let's right. Go. Right. I say allegedly, as it is official record with the state of Ohio that a title was issued and he paid, wait for it, purchase price, issue date 10/17/2024, purchase price $35,000.
Definitely not 65. All right. All
definitely right. Not. So he's trying to quick flip, double his money on this dubious built motor, 1,000 horsepower claimed, stolen theft recovery, Chinese taillight M3. However, nice. He could have lied to the state about what he paid
in
order to save on sales tax.
Why would anybody do that?
People do that. They make up a bill of sale. They say, yeah, I paid $5,000 for this car. It's old. It's rusty.
I have heard that the state of Ohio is now going after people who report that they've purchased a car for wildly different than market.
They've been doing that for a long time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're not dumb.
I have paid my taxes because I'm a responsible citizen. It sucks, but you got to do it. So,
indeed. Or you could title your car in a Montana LLC.
Ooh, call
back. That might not be a good idea. You're wondering why? Listen to our previous episode. So I don't know which is the bigger crime here. The fact that this car was stolen originally or that this guy is trying to hoodwink people into paying double what this stinking car is worth.
Well, and he's trying to double his money so fast. It's like, sounds like the guys who used to try to tell me to invest in Bitcoin. Like, it's going to happen so fast. Don't worry. You're going to make so much money.
Well,
like, well, guess what never happened?
You would have.
Well, yeah, like 12 times now. But,
yeah.
But think of the experiences. Think of the 98 Corvette pace cars I wouldn't have purchased if all my money was tied up in such a wildly fluctuating currency.
Right.
Well, holy heck. Hello, Hank. What are you doing here?
Well, I was told I had to come in to read a complaint or something. Hall of Fame, something like that.
Do you mean a wall of shame?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, before you get to that, how have you been? It has been a minute. Is the car packed away?
Car's put up for the winter. Yep.
All right.
I did that 2 months ago.
That would have been.
It went below 50 degrees back there in August.
You know what? I guess I respect it. Did you? You didn't go to the Corvette Museum for the 30th anniversary caravan, did you?
I did. Yeah, I didn't drive my car down too many miles, but yep.
I understand. Well, I can't wait for you to get it out in the spring, and hopefully, maybe we can go for a cruise sometime. I still haven't seen it.
I doubt it.
Well, fine. But I have.
I don't do cruises. I do cruise ins.
Okay.
If there's a discount on food and or a trophy.
Absolutely. Anyway, so we've got a wall of shame that I think Doug wanted you to read while he had to step out for a sec. So why don't you hit us with it?
I don't know why I'm supposed to read this, but this is from the Facebook. And Randall Dunn is posting to Rustin and Shining Car and Bike Show. Apparently has some feedback. Says, I'm just saying that I tried your car show and your judges absolutely pick cars of people they know or they just don't know cars, and I base that on facts. They picked a 68 red Camaro over my 67 teal one. I had walked around and looked at that red Camaro in detail. It was decent, but in no comparison to mine, which always gets in the top 20 of any car show. Sounds like my Corvette. My engine compartment would compete with the best car out there. That red Camaro's paint had some absolutely terrible places in it compared to mine. The engine compartment was in no comparison to mine, yet they won an award. My 67 has a Strato bench seat, which is in only 7% of Camaros, which makes it very rare. I won't be back.
Tell me, Hank, have you ever had an experience like this?
Sound like these judges kind of suck.
It really does. Would you? That doesn't seem like a show you'd go to.
No, I don't think so.
Have you been stiffed for an award before?
No, nope, I've won a trophy at every car show I've ever been to.
Okay, that's pretty impressive, actually.
I only go to Corvette shows, though, and if I check and see how many trophies they have for which classes first, though.
Okay, so it's a kind of a game of numbers. There's some strategy to it. You only want to go where you know you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. Why would I put the miles on otherwise?
I don't know, to enjoy the car, maybe? Like, driving experience? I mean, I've had a C5 for quite a few months now. It's a very enjoyable driving experience. Steering wheel's a bit big, but it's fantastic.
Yep, it's all right. It's not a bad car to drive.
Interesting. Alrighty, well, Hank, I hope we can get you home on time tonight, and it was good to see you again.
Thank you.
Check you later.
This episode is brought to you by Sheffield All Sport Watches. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jay Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All Sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one in July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid back in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine. Get yours at SheffieldWatches.com and mention that you heard about them on Switchcast.
We don't talk about politics here on Switchcast unless they are automotive related.
Oh boy.
But the election just happened. Don't go anywhere. Promise. We're still not talking about politics. We are going to talk about how cars might be related to the election.
Alrighty, is this one of those things where, like, President Biden loves Corvettes and they like to pull them out, wheel them out, and stick them in his C2 every once in a while?
No.
Oh, sweet.
No.
Cool.
No conspiracy theories here either. Although the incoming president-elect, is that what they call it?
Yes, sir.
Did have some Lamborghinis back in the day, although apparently he didn't really own any of them. They were just on loan. Anyway, I wish I had that kind of status.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I would love to have a GT3 just on loan, because I can influence people through the camera business here.
Right.
Not Doug recommends Porsches. Perfect.
No, but there's a legitimate question, right? So people are always making investment decisions, home buying decisions, car buying or selling decisions based on a number of outside factors. The weather. Yes, actually, people will say, well, I don't want to sell my car until spring. Spring, the market's going to be better. I'm like, well, I'm glad your crystal ball is working. And one of those factors, along with interest rates, is the election, right? People say, well, if such and such president gets elected. If this person wins the election, then our democracy is doomed. In fact, I think both sides of the aisle said that this election. So 50% of the people in America thought that the world was going to end if their candidate lost. And the other 50% of people thought the world was going to end if their candidate lost.
100%.
And
of the people thought the world was going to end for some reason. Actually, alrighty, let's get this back into cars. Okay. Where are we going? Where are we going?
So I had an anecdote, right? And this sums up what I hear all the time. People ask me, well, what's a good time to buy or sell a car? And I'm like, the best time is whenever is the right time for you, when your finances are in order, when you're ready, when you feel is right. Well, should I wait for this, or with the new car is coming out and it's going to affect the value, or this or that? And I'm like, just freaking do something. Just do something. I had somebody, we have a Porsche 930 and the customer wanted to sell it, has been wanting to sell it. And I said, hey, I think we should run it on Bring a Trailer. We're not having a ton of luck on the open market. And so he says, well, let's wait until the election. Cause I think a lot of people are waiting until after the election to see what happens, to see who wins. Because if so-and-so wins, then the economy is going to be great. And I think that'll drive values up. More people will be buying and spending money. And I said, okay, well, it's like 2 weeks from now. Like, I don't really care. We need to take the car off the market before we put it on Bring a Trailer anyway, to kind of clear, you know, the internet cache of people's memories of the car and stuff. So it's a fresh listing when it goes on Bring a Trailer. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. He's like, well, don't you think that's going to happen? I'm like, it could go either way, right? If whatever candidate you think is going to open people's wallets doesn't win, then won't you be remiss for having waited, and it'll go the other way and you wish you sold your car? So whatever, we waited and things went the way that he wanted. So I called him up literally the day after the election and I said, okay, great. Let's list your car. He goes, well, you know, don't you think now that this is happening that, you know, stuff is, you know, things are going to get even better and people will be spending money. So, you know, maybe we should wait a little while and wait longer till the market goes up more. And I'm just like,
bro, we can sleep. Honk shoe.
What?
Like honk shoe. Shoe. Like one of those. Get some honk shoes.
I'm like, we can wait for eternity. Like, if you want to wait for Jesus to come back because, you know, the people who aren't raptured are going to spend more money on cars or something, like, let's do that.
Maybe Jesus himself will want this exact 930 turbo to tool about the apocalypse.
No, he only drives Hondas. He said, oh, me and my disciples, yeah, are all in one accord, you know.
No, he doesn't speak of his own accord.
Well, that too, he's very humble about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I don't know how we got 12 people in an accord anyway,
but the disciples, right? I think
so. We digress a lot. No, but I was just like, people can't get out of their own way when they're trying to analyze this stuff. And I go back to 2020, right? 2020 was a terrible year for a lot of people, but it was the most glorious year ever for the car industry for one simple reason. All of the major physical auctions were suspended. So in the high-end car industry, January and August are annoying as all get out because everybody stops buying because they're waiting to see the auction results because they think something's magically going to change. The problem is it either goes the way they want or it doesn't. And then afterwards, they're all paralyzed, but it's like, wow, values went for too much. I'm going to wait for the market to come down. Or, wow, everything tanked at the auctions. Value, I'm going to wait longer because the market's tanking. You know, and it's like, it doesn't make anyone's decision. It continues a paralysis of analysis. And in 2020, it was great because there was none of that. People just decided on their own to do what they wanted to do, regardless of any outside factors. But the discussion point at hand, does the election actually, is there something with a new president or economic policy that will trend one way or another or impact high-end car values?
So I would like to acknowledge that at least on the surface, the logic seems sound, which is why I think a lot of people get wrapped up in this. And I think also a lot too many people are thinking about cars as stores of value, which they can be, and they are. You know, I value in my cars that I hope doesn't diminish to zero. That would be great.
There are stores of value. It's just better or worse.
Yeah, but, you know, I always wonder, like, is it a few percent? Like, what's the swing? Like you said, it goes back to the time to sell, the time to buy is when you are ready. That is the period for houses, cars, whatever. So I spent a lot of time because I'm searching for GT3s on classic.com. And classic.com has this really sweet chart for values, and they aggregate results from Bring a Trailer and like all these other places that you can sell a car, and they put them into a chart for you,
including global results, which makes it somewhat confusing sometimes.
A little bit. So I've looked up the charts for the 930 Turbo and the 996 GT3. When I'm done shopping for one, my life will get boring and I won't be able to contribute anything, I guess, but we are here. What sucks with this is it only goes back 5 years.
Oh.
So that doesn't really show you, like, the lines are kind of flat.
And the last little 4 years are skewed because of the COVID market.
Car Gurus to the rescue.
Really?
Car Gurus has this interesting, not as specific as model, but they have this data you can get out on their website. I don't remember the exact link, but you can go to their price trends and you can go back to what I found is the earliest selectable date in their little date pickers is November 1st of 2008. So what I did is I punched in.
That's not a turning point in any market.
Yeah, it's really weird. Very specific. So I punched that date in and I selected, you can only select by brand or type of car. So I put Porsche, Ferrari, Aston Martin, McLaren, and Lamborghini on a trend from Car Gurus and their like index of used car prices.
Okay.
And it's not just used. I think it's new too. So it's a little, yeah. But if you look at this chart, Doug, these lines are kind of like maybe mostly increasing, but like there's dips and there's like peaks and valleys and adjustments and in and out, but like
the four years there isn't like a sharp rise or fall or anything.
It's just kind of like a little bit of a line. These are all kind of going up, I think, because the prices of cars have increased in general due to inflation and the amount of technology in cars and the increases in values in some of the enthusiast vehicles. But like if you look at their index, it's flat. Like the major lace, the most significant bump is after COVID. But everything else is like, eh.
Except for Aston Martin. Is Aston Martin the red line or the blue line?
No, Aston Martin is the green line over here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was wrong. I am often. Yeah. It goes back to people assume that things are going to be better or worse based on their particular political leanings. And so you literally have half the country thinking the world's going to end now and the other half thinking that it's like the new coming
better.
Of Jesus or whatever, because of who's going to be in the office. Right. But there are economic policies that go along and not just economic, but environmental policies that go along with certain parties and certain beliefs of certain candidates that I think can affect it long term. Now, I don't know that there's going to be anything drastic, and I don't know that it will really affect used cars that much. If anything, the economic policies that have come about with the last few administrations have been more towards new cars. They are affecting, it's affecting Porsche, right? Porsche is rumoring that the GT3 as a naturally aspirated car is done. All these CAFE restrictions and the Euro 7 stuff. You've got turbos, you've got hybrids everywhere. So that is changing what the new car market looks like. But if anything, that's not causing, right? So I would say that the general assumption is, right, that conservative politicians are better for the economy and therefore they're better for like gas guzzling cars and the people that want to have freedom and I want to burn diesel and
buy a Hummer now
and all that, right? But if anything, from a collector perspective and a value perspective, the opposite is true, because the more emissions regulations that come out, the more hybrids, the more turbos, the more automatics, because that's better for gas mileage, you know, 13 speed automatic PDK, whatever, the more the value goes up on older manual V12 naturally aspirated cars.
Yes.
Because they become more scarce.
Well, and I think we've known it, and I think that's part of the driving of some of these prices is these are vehicles that you can't buy anymore. You know, when I was shopping for my 996 7 or 8 years ago, you could get a 993 for like $40,000 and like in like the same condition I bought my car in. And I couldn't stretch that much at that point. And I was like, well, that's dumb. I'm going to pay almost twice as much for a worse car. Boy, was I wrong.
You triggered the Porsche people.
Well, but it's objectively a worse car. You can fight me on that. It's better looking and it's maybe more soulful to drive, but objectively by numbers, it's a worse car. I still want one.
Horsepower
really
isn't everything. A Toyota Camry is a better car than your Porsche 996, Tyler.
And as we've discussed, Jesus drives an Accord. So really, what are we all? But you know, it's, I lost that. Not lost. I've had wonderful experiences in my cars, but if I would have stretched for the 993, it would be worth, you know, who knows?
Hold on. Do you think Jesus has a driver's license, or do you think he would have been a sovereign citizen? Did he have private on his tag, on his Accord in Jerusalem?
He's like, I know things you couldn't even believe. I don't need your silly registration. Yeah. You see, maybe, actually. Feels like the vibe.
Do you have anything more constructive on the elections?
I thought I did, but I think it's all pachoo.
All right, time out of my for the head. Props and flops.
Which, as always, is brought to you by Switch Cars. Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. Find more information at switchcars.com or visit our showroom in Beautiful, Twinsburg, Ohio. Doug, what is the pick of the week from Switch Cars Inventory?
The pick of the week is a 2021 Corvette C8 Z51.
Hell yeah, brother.
Finished in Zeus bronze. Speaking of biblical cars, that is a...
I was going to say, that's a different god, but well, you know, it is.
Sure.
A. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's got the white, yellow, and black interior. Reminds me of like a Lexus LC500 or maybe a Bentley interior. It's multicolored with yellow stitching. It's not for the faint of heart, but I actually kind of really like it.
I like an oddball Corvette.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's definitely a one of one spec out of 15,000 coupes.
Don't tell Hank.
It is. We've got the sheet. 3,400
like
miles.
The museum? Like the official?
No. It's like 8 pages of like the breakdown of every single option and how many were produced. But honestly, just the interior itself makes it unique. That color interior, there's only two of, period.
Oh, wow.
Out of 15,000 cars. So, or only two in the Zeus bronze, but that interior is crazy rare. Some people may say there's a reason for that, but again,
in 15 years, it's going to be worth millions.
It's no, it's a deal. $70,000 for a 21 C8 with an 80, I think it's 88 window sticker. So, yep. Our flop of the week, speaking of Hummers and EVs and all that stuff, Hummer EVs is a tip from our friend Austin. They're selling approximately 1,000 of these a month, which actually surprised me that they're selling that many.
I can't believe there's 12,000 people in a calendar year that want to plunk down the cash for one of these.
That's crazy.
I have seen more of them, though. I've seen like two or three driving around locally.
They're far better looking than a Cybertruck. I'll say right? If I was going to spend $100,000 on a ridiculous EV, I'd pick the Hummer before the Cybertruck, hands down. Oh, yeah. I'd probably pick the Rivian above either of those.
I would drive a Mitsubishi Mirage instead of a Cybertruck. Have you ever seen the wheels on one of those recently? The tires are like donuts on all four corners. Don't drive over 55. You might pew.
Anyway, so if you want to spend more than $100,000 on an EV, Hummer EV, you can get the Omega Edition, which is like a $30,000 premium. Ooh. Just for larger tires and a matte blue paint finish. Taking a page out of Porsche's book here. That's it. So a good color, but the demand is quite low and they're listed at $20,000 to $30,000 below MSRP. So basically back to the price of a regular one.
Nice.
However, there's an enterprising dealer in Texas who had the not so bright idea. You'll see why that's a pun in a second, of wrapping an Omega Edition, which remember is a $35,000 premium just for the blue paint. They wrap this Omega Edition in matte black and then added another 10 grand in ADM to the price. So you're paying 30 or so extra to have a matte blue color, and then another 10 grand to cover up the special edition matte blue with matte black dealer wrap.
Isn't the wrap gonna like kind of fudge up the matte when it comes off? Is that a thing? I feel like matte would be something that you could damage if you're peeling off adhesive.
No, I don't think so. It's just clear coat. It's a satin finish clear coat. So the paint is the paint, and you get the gloss from the finish of the clear coat.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah. Some detailer's probably going to say, no, you have to use this special stuff on it. You don't know what you're talking about. It's probably true. Anyway, but they posted this thing for sale on Facebook, which, as I said earlier, I'm learning Gen Z terms. OP finna get dragged.
And did they get dragged, Doug?
I don't know. Austin just sent me the screenshot of the post. Our prop of the week goes out to Cannonball Garage, our friend Arnie Toman, Jordan Carlson, and their crew. They set the new McLaren quarter mile world record. That's right, a street legal CSO McLaren 765 LT that was modified by Cannonball Garage, set the quarter mile record, which had previously stood for over 3 years, at a whopping 8.61 seconds with 167 mile an hour trap speed.
My goodness, that is fast.
Quarter Heck mile.
Yeah. Go quarter mile.
Yeah. And I think they said there was more in it too. So I have a feeling they'll beat their own record soon. Arnie is a fan of doing that type of thing. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.